looking crowd.
Most of us have been up a few hours during the night. Went to the Winter Jam last night and had a great time. I thought I was the worst about going those things, but a friend of mine was there also, and I had my earplugs, but he had his earplugs and a bottle of Aleve. So I guess that's when you're old, going to a concert is you carry your Aleve and your earplugs, but you definitely need the earplugs if you've never been. But the kids do enjoy it, and had a great speaker last night. He done a good job, presented the gospel clear so everybody could understand it, and done a good job with how he did everything. So did have a good time. Thank God for keeping us safe as we traveled. No real issues there. We had to introduce Aiden to the Waffle House about 1 o'clock in Georgia, and that's probably experience that'll scar him for life. But we had a good time, great fellowship, and appreciate each one that put the time and effort into going. We really had a good time. This morning we asked you a special prayer request. Brother Kenny is not feeling well. They took him to the hospital last night, and they done tests on up until this morning. Still don't have any news, but y'all continue to pray for him, Janelle, and the family. Pray they get some answers today soon. I know we, of course, we miss Brother Kenny. I miss my picture every day and hearing his stories about the tractors. So y'all remember him. Pray that they get some answers and figure out what's going on soon. Continue to remember Key's family, as they, you know, Miss Maldy passed away and we had her funeral this week or last week. And got a card to read. I'll go ahead and read it. I was going to read it at the end, but I'll read it now. It says, "There are not enough words to describe how blessed we are to be a part of the New Harmony Baptist Church family. Each one of you have made the past year as peaceful and comforting as possible. Our family thanks you from the bottom of our hearts for all of your visits, calls, food, love, support, and most of all the prayers. We love you all very much. In Christ, the Yancey family." So appreciate them, and I understand how hard the time has been for them. Also, we got a news last night as we was at the concert, of course, about Brother Kenny. And then a lady that Amberly worked for years, Susie Vines. Many of y'all know Susie is owning a dress shop up in Tallapoosa. Her husband, Brad, was hurting, and they took him to the hospital. And from our understanding, they found cancer pretty bad. He's in Rome Hospital, and I don't know a lot about it, but I know that it wasn't good what they found. So y'all remember her and her family and him also as a battle's about to be fought. With cancer with him. And Brad is a commissioner of some kind in Harrison County. He also owns a boring company, does underground boring in Harrison County. So y'all pray for Brad Vines. That's his name. Any other prayer requests? Remember that family. Oh my goodness. Pray for her. Ask continue to remember my dad as we hope to be moved to Heflin Nursing Home for rehabilitation tomorrow, maybe. Thought we was gonna get it done Thursday, then something come up with his health then, and thought we was gonna get it done Friday. His blood sugar bottomed out, so it just don't seem we can get over there. And so y'all pray that we get him down here and can get him some rehab and go back going again. Any others?
I talked to a friend of mine I went to school with. His wife actually works at the hospital. Her name is Amanda Riggins. And she had breast cancer. And I guess maybe a month ago, she thought that she had beat it, but it's back in her liver real bad. It's metastasized to her liver. So they asked me to put on our prayer request. But her name is Amanda Riggins.
Remember that one. Any others? No others. We'll go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you this morning for this day that you've given us to live. God, we thank you for the gift. Lord, we ask you to be with our church this morning, God, as many are hurting from loss of family members, hurting from those that are sick. And God, I ask that you comfort as only you can. Lord, I ask that you touch Brother Kenny this morning, God, show the doctors what's wrong. God, lead them to the problem so they can get him back to his much-wanted health. God asks you to be with his family as they travel and help take care of him. Give them strength. Give them comfort. God, we pray for our singers this morning, God, that they're up here to sing for no other reason than to glorify the name of Jesus, for he's worthy. God, we thank you for what he's done, for him coming and dying for each one of us, God, and giving us freeing us from the penalty of sin so that we're no longer enslaved to it, that God, that we are free. Lord, we thank you today for everything that you've done, everything you've blessed us with, for our church, God, and for all you've given us. Lord, we thank you and we ask that we be more about you this year than we have been in the past. And these blessings we do ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Stand and sing with us this morning. Let's welcome one another.
Cursed memories forever seeping through. Oh, my thirst for myself left me wanting more.
Now what do we do?
Till I found myself face down on your shore. You say, come to the river.
Oh,
Before the world began, above
Appreciate that great singing. Went all the way to Atlanta last night and heard better singing today. I enjoyed that. Appreciate the effort they put into it and not giving up when electronics don't cooperate with us. I can't even say the word this morning. You got your Bibles, turn to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. I'd like to, I guess, a day of confession. You know, I'm guilty a lot of times of leading and trying to do things on my own. I think if we'd be honest today, we all are. And this verse is in John chapter 15, verses 1 through 9, begins telling us that without Jesus, we can do nothing. We can do nothing. And we're guilty of trying to do church, trying to do life, trying to go to work and everything on our own. We get led into this thing believing that we're getting, that definitely God's given us a talent. And as we do that, we begin thinking maybe we should run with it on our own. And we tend to leave him out of everyday things. And worse than that, we tend to leave him out of our church. You say, well, surely we don't do that. Yes, we do. We do. We leave him out. We decide what we're going to do. We never inquire of him. We never ask him what his thoughts are. We never want to see how he leads. We want to do something. We go forward. And when we do that, we get into a mess. And he gives us great directions here today in John chapter 15. verses 1 through 9. I'm not going to ask you to stand. Most of y'all are tired, so we'll let you rest a minute. But John chapter 15, verse 1 says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. Father, we thank you for these verses this morning. God, we ask that you touch our bodies, you touch our lips, God, that we speak nothing but what you'd have us to do. Lord, I pray that you get all the worries, all the thoughts out of our hearts and minds for just a few minutes. And that, God, we focus on your word. And that we understand one truth before we leave this place. Without you, we can do nothing. And God, I hope this upcoming year that I will take this to heart. That this will be my theme, that this will be how I operate. And the Lord, you'll help me, for it's in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. I began thinking about a grapevine. I assume this is what they was talking about here, and as that's what we're most coming with for sure around our area is grapevines. And my goodness, I live in a place called Muscadine. I should know something about grapes. But the sad thing is I don't. I don't know very much. I know what I've read about. But I know that they grow on a vine. And I say they grow on a vine, but actually they don't grow on a vine. They grow on shoots that come from branches, which are connected to a vine. But now, may I tell you something that you know, if you take that branch and you snap it off from the vine, that branch is going to wither and it's going to die and it's not going to produce any fruit. And my friend today, I think my biggest problem, I'm going to preach to myself this morning, I think my biggest problem is a lot of times I don't abide in the vine. I become a branch, and a branch I become on my own. I think I'm going to do this thing. I'm going to produce this fruit. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And the whole time I'm disconnected from the source, which is the vine. And I promise you and I challenge you as you go prune your grapevines, whatever time of the year you do that. I don't even know what time you do it, but I think it's around this up. We're coming close to it. But as you do that, I challenge you to take a branch and lay that branch to the side and go back to it in 2 weeks and see what's happened. Go back to it in a month and see what's happened. And you watch that branch and you watch the rest of the vine, and I promise you that you'll begin seeing something. As spring comes along, you'll see new flowers come on to the one who's connected to the vine, but the branch that is broken off, it'll be a dead piece of wood. Good for nothing but to burn is what it'll be. We must abide in the vine. Verse 1 says, I am the true vine, and my Father's husbandman. Think about that. I am the true vine. The true vine. I know this is not even one of my notes, but this is what I'm going to go with. The true vine. Listen, there's no other thing that you must abide in than Jesus Christ. There's nothing else that you can be connected to outside of Jesus that will produce any fruit. You can be connected to the church even. You can be connected to the deaconship. You can be connected to your Sunday school class and whatever it is. And listen, we got people all the time that's trying to go different places to be connected to a group. They want to go where this group is here. They start a new church and do this group here and do this there. And listen, it's not being connected to a youth group even. Bless God, it's being connected to the true vine, which is Jesus Christ. And if you're not connected to him, my friend, you will not produce any fruit. You will not. You cannot. You have no power in you to produce fruit, just as a vine, a branch does not. You do know. Why? You don't either. Why do we must stay connected to the vine? Why must we be connected to the vine? It anchors. The vine is anchored. I studied just a little bit about grapevines. They got roots, as they do trees, and those roots go into the ground. And as they go into the ground, they curve. And you know why they curve? So it can hang on. And as they curve and they go into the ground, they anchor that vine. Hey, if you just took a grapevine and you put it on top of the ground, as the rains came, it would wash away. As the wind came, it would blow away. But bless God, that vine is anchored to the ground. It's secure. And listen, it is not going anywhere. And me and you today, we must be anchored. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19. Hebrews 6, 19. It says, which hope we have as an anchor for the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth that within the veil. Hey, we have a great anchor today. They sang a song, The Anchor Holds. Even that group, I Don't Like Skillet's, got a song called Anchor. And I've got to admit, I like it. I can understand the words of it even. I can hear what they're saying. I think that's the reason I like it. Now, Derek, y'all know how I am. I can't bear to hear that stuff. But listen, it talks about the anchor. And listen, I looked up the meaning of anchor, and it's not what I thought it was. Does anybody here know the meaning of anchor? Boy, I would have failed this one miserably. It means curved. Curved. I began thinking about that. It's curved so it can hang on. And listen, we have a great anchor, Jesus Christ. He's our anchor for our soul, both sure and steadfast, my friend. You can be anchored to Him and be as certain that you're not moving anywhere. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. This anchor for our soul is ever steadfast. It shall not be moved. It will not be moved. And it's rooted in the ground. Yeah, listen, He's connected where the nutrients are. As He's anchored there, not only is He there to hold it still, but as those roots go into there, they get the nutrients from the ground. They get the water it needs to make those grapes grow and to hold it steady. And boy, what a message that is in something as simple as a grapevine. Of how that thing cannot be moved, how it cannot do. And as it does that, it's twofold. As it holds into the ground, it gets the food we need. It gets the nourishment we need to bring forth fruit. Listen, church, maybe the reason we produce any fruit, bless God, is maybe we're not connected to the vine. The vine is rooted. The vine is sure. The vine is steadfast. But I'm afraid today that we are a bunch of little branches that have decided we can go our own way. I can do my own thing. That staying with Jesus stuff, abiding with Jesus, that's in the Bible. That thing was written some thousands of years ago. It don't hold no lot to me. By the way, I tell you what we must do. We must change that thing a little bit because we're living in 2020. Surely that still don't hold true. My friend, today it's as true as it ever has been. It will ever be as true in 1,000 years as it is today. And listen, unless you abide in Him, you can do nothing. You will not accomplish anything. He's anchored. Without the anchor, the vines could be easily destroyed. Winds, predators, all kind of stuff could destroy the vine if it wasn't anchored. And as you being a branch, I want you to think today about yourself being a little branch. As you imagine the most beautiful grapevine you can think about, you're a little branch on that thing. If you see the vine, it can grow a big trunk, and it becomes something that's great. And listen, I'm getting to think about this. Jesus Christ sure is humble. He sure is meek. You know why? He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But did you realize how He said He chooses to bring forth fruit? Through the branches. He allows you to be the branch that fruit is grown on. He uses you and He puts everything you need inside that. By the way, that vine produces everything that branch needs to bring forth grapes. It produces every single thing it needs. As long as it stays connected, it's assured that it will bring forth fruit. There's no doubt about it. There's no ifs, ands, and buts. If that thing stays connected to the vine, in due time, it's going to bring forth fruit. You see what happens to me is I'm connected to the vine for a little bit, and I'm abiding in Him, and I'm there with Him, and I go through a season, and I don't see any fruit come on me. I don't see any fruit produced by myself. So I get to thinking, maybe I can do better on my own. So I begin looking other places and decide we need some more programs, and we need some more things to do. And we try to go out on our own, and all along we're disconnected from everything we need, which is the vine. Without me, you can do nothing. Boy, if we could get that through our head, that everything we do must be in Jesus Christ. Every fruit we are, if we provide any fruit, if we produce any fruit, it's only because it's coming through the vine. Boy, if we just grab a hold of that today and understand the truth in that thing, what a great church we could be. Without the anchor, without the vine, we're nothing. So the vine is anchored. It's anchored. Number two, the vine's abundant. It's got everything you need. Let me ask you today, don't you be honest with yourself. Do you believe that Jesus Christ can meet every need in your life? Every single need, do you believe it? If you don't, you're wasting your time being here this morning. If you don't believe he can do anything, then if I was you, I would go fishing. If I was you, I'd go home, get ready for the Super Bowl. If I didn't believe he could meet every need. But I believe he's all-sufficient. I believe he is all-knowing. I believe he can do anything in me and through me that he desires to do. Now, let me ask you another question. If I believe that, why do I not abide in him? Why do I not stay connected to him? Why is the church, if we believe that Jesus is all-sufficient, that he is a true vine, and there's no other way that we can grow anything, that we can become what God wants us to be, outside of, if we can disconnect from him, we're going to die spiritually. If we believe that today, then why do we have so many people, and even myself, not content to abide in him? He is abundant. He's abundant. He has every single thing. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 14. And the grace of our Lord, which was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Faith and love. Everything that you need to produce fruit is in those two words. Faith and love. And that is found in Christ Jesus, which is the true vine. Everything that the grape needs, the grape branch needs to produce a big old giant a cluster of grapes is available through that vine. It runs it to it. And it grows on there miraculously. We don't even understand. We don't even understand how the fruits come to be on trees is how dumb we are. We can't even figure that one out. And we think we want to tell God how we need to do things. Everything to produce it is there. It's all abundant. Think about this. The branch has a job. Branch just don't come on that vine to take up space. It has a job. And its job is to produce grapes. That's its job. It's not responsible for the nutrients. It's not responsible for the water. It's not responsible for the sunlight. It's not responsible for even the husband to come and take care of it. All the branches do, it's got one job. It's got one job. Stay connected. And if it stays connected, then it's going to happen. It's going to do exactly the job it was designed to do. Listen, my friend, you have one job. There used to be a thing going around 2 or 3 years ago, commercials and all kind of things. You had one job. I forget what it come from, but that went around, you had one job. You were created by the Almighty God before the world began, and your mother's, before you was put in your mother's womb, God fashions you for a job. He gave you an ability. He gave you a talent. He gave you a personality. He gave you a place. He placed you in the right place. And no such thing as happenstance. He put you where he wanted you to be. You was placed there at this time in history for this certain thing that you are made to do. And there's a whole world of people who are missing out on that one thing. And the reason is they become disconnected from the vine. They're not connected any longer to the vine. Except you abide in me, you can do nothing. Without me, you can do nothing. Without that vine, that branch is dead. That branch will never be anything. Just think about what a useless little piece of wood it would be. You couldn't even build anything out of it. All it's good for is to start a fire. All it's good for is to throw away. It is no good, but the vine is abundant. Just as the vine is abundant, Jesus Christ is abundant. Just as the vine has roots that go to the source of life, Jesus is one with the Father. Never-ending supply of available resources that heaven has to offer never runs out. He said, "My Father owns a cattle of 1,000 hills. He said to supply your needs according to his riches and glory. He never runs out. We begin to think sometimes we've done about all we can do. Then we get into the place where God can use us. We say, God, we've gone as far as we can go. And guess what? You're about as far as where God, he wants you to be. When you realize that you can do nothing without him, you're about ready to start growing. You're about ready to get to a place where he's going to use you, where you're going to become useful to him. My friend, if you get one thing out of this message today, understand something. Jesus is all you need. He's all you need. He's abundant. He said, I come to give you life and give it more abundantly. In him is abundant life. Not only is he abundant, but listen, that was what the vine is. That was the vine's responsibility. That vine, responsible for all the grapes that are produced. You are the branch. You're not responsible for anything, the vine. You're responsible just to say, well, this next one is, the branch must abide. John 15:4. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except you abide in me. The word abide is pretty simple. In common English, it means to stay. It means to stay connected. To stay. Your job as a branch is to simply stay connected. You see, we're guilty of putting pressures on ourselves, of thinking, well, the church ain't producing any fruit, then it's me. I must go somewhere else. This ain't happening, and we must get rid of the pastor, we must change things up. We need a new program. I told y'all before, I'll tell you again. I heard a man one time, the church was looking for a pastor. They'd done his resume and run the things on him, checked him out. And the church he was at hadn't baptized but about 10 in the last 5 years. And you know what they said? We don't want him because he cannot produce fruit. Friend, may I tell you something? If that man is preaching the word of God, if that man is praying like he should, if that man is leading like he should, it is not his responsibility to produce fruit. It is the vine's responsibility. He can produce no fruit except Jesus give it to him. But we put the pressures on ourselves. And as a branch, all we have to do is to stay with the vine. Stay with the vine. Your position in Christ is a gift. You don't deserve it. Never could earn it. It's a gift. How many of you think that a branch on a grapevine decides it wants to be a branch? And that branch's great scheme of things, it said, you know what, one day I hope I get to be a branch on a grapevine. You see, what's behind that, all of our emotions is a human nature. We want to be the greatest. That comes from the fall that was placed there by Satan. He wanted to be greater than God. And that sin nature comes on down to us. We all want to be great. We think we can lead this way. We think, boy, if he'd just put me in charge of this, I'd show him how things would be done. Or I'd do this, or I can do that, or I'm all along. Well, we forget something. That vine never asked to be where it was placed. It simply stays where it's placed, and it does what it's to do. My friend, you may not supposed to be the leader. You're just supposed to be a branch connected to the vine. So many times we want to take the place of Jesus. We know how to get them, we think. We know how to win a lost world. Church, may I remind you that we as a church, not just New Harmony, but the whole church of Jesus Christ, the whole body of Christ, we've got to a place where we've decided that we know better than he does. I tell you how we're going to win them. We're going to start something new. Boy, we're great at that. And listen, I'm not against programs. I'm not against things. They keep us on track a lot of times. But I'm afraid what it has become is something we replace with following Jesus. We see First Baptist Church over here doing something. We want to go. We want to copy what they're doing. Well, then they're doing this on Sunday night. I tell you what we'll do. If they're having a Super Bowl party on Sunday night tonight, then we'll try one, see if our crowds increase. We'll see if that thing will work. If they're doing this on Easter and they're having an egg hunt for the whole community, we'll try that, and maybe that'll work. Listen, I'm not against any of those things, but what I'm telling you is all the things in the world won't work if you're not connected to Jesus Christ. It will not. And we've tried it. I've tried it. You've tried it. We're going to try this to bring more families in. We're going to try this to bring more adults. Listen, the men's on my mind again this year. I done nothing about it last year. Not a single thing. I had great intentions. Didn't accomplish a single thing for the men in this county. Hope this year's different. Church, we must be reaching people. I saw a thing on Facebook. I don't know who posted it. Maybe it's Scott Gentry. If a church is not reaching out to its community, it's a social club. It's not a church. We must be reaching out to our community. But listen, all the ideas we can come up with. We had a leadership meeting. We come up with a bunch of good ideas. But unless we abide in Christ, we will not produce any fruit. We have one job, and that's to abide. That's our position in Christ. You must be the one who stays. You get to choose. Branches on a grapevine get absolutely no choice. They are placed there, and they're there until they're broken off. The wind tears them apart, or the vine dresser comes and prunes them off. Boy, that's a whole other message about pruning. I'm not getting there. We'll never get done. But for a grapevine to be what it is, sometimes God has to take some away. But listen, that vine don't get to choose, or that branch don't get to choose. It is just sprouts up on the vine. Me and you today, we get a choice whether we will abide with Christ. We get a choice to stay with Him. So many people have left Jesus. They might not have left the church as a building, as an organization, but they've left Jesus Christ. They no more want the things to do with Him because it goes against what they say is right. It's not social acceptable anymore to do this. When I think about where we become as a nation, we become so sissified and so weak, it is pitiful. We're afraid to say anything, it might hurt someone's feelings. I'm afraid to say anything, we think, because someone there don't need to hear this, they don't have negative stamina about themselves, they get thinking they're not any good, we just can't say that. Hey, I heard today how far we have come, or yesterday, that the group wants whatever he is, Phil, Poxitani Phil, is that what he's called? They think it's time that he goes into retirement because on today he is under too much stress. He's a flipping groundhog that comes up and sees he's shattered or not. He's not stressed. It's mean to him to put the stress on him to decide if we're going to have six more, which don't mean a hill of beans to anything. But that's how far we've come society. It's comical, but it's sad. We've come that far to thinking that this thing is we're putting pressure on it. You know what they want to do? They want to replace that one with a computerized one that does it the same thing. So you want to program it. We think we can take over everything. My friend, we cannot take over saving souls. That's the business of Jesus Christ. We can't do it. We can preach 100 messages. We can have people bow their heads and raise their hands and listen. I understand in a group big as we was in last night, there's no way you can have an altar call as we do here at New Harmony Baptist Church. There is just not hardly any way you could do that. You could, but it would take all their time up, and I understand. Listen, I know all of it. We think we replaced all these things. We can tell a good story that deal with emotions. We can tell a scary story that deal with emotions. We can show a scary film that deals with things that do happen in reality. But the fact of the matter is, unless that heart is pricked by the Holy Spirit of God and that person is drawn by God and that God speaks to that life and tells them that they are a sinner, then guess what? According to the Word of God and according to Jesus Himself, that person cannot be saved. That ain't fun today to talk about because it's going to lose you a bunch of people. But my friend, it's not about fun. It's not about popularity. It's about the truth. Unless you abide in Him and His way, you can accomplish nothing. You can produce no fruit. You can produce fruit you think you can. You can produce numbers, but guess what's going to happen? You look around today and see where those numbers are. All the ones we try to add on our own, they're not there, are they? You say, well, they've just moved on. Well, the Bible says, if you was one of us, you would have stayed with us. Now, I understand they'd be at another church and still be saved. I'm not saying that. But many of them that we get in these huge groups, they make professions. And then 2 weeks down the road, you can't find them. That's not the fruit the Bible speaks of. We must abide. Abide. A branch has no roots. It's completely dependent on the vine. You have nothing outside of Jesus Christ. You have nothing. Unless you stay connected, you will die. The branches must accept the ways of God. John chapter 15, verse 1, it's right here. I'm the true vine, and my Father is a husbandman. A husbandman in that day, which was a vine dresser, knew how to keep a vineyard. They knew when to prune. They knew when to do away with the vine. They knew when to do away with a branch. They know what to do, how to fertilize. They knew how to water. They knew everything about grapevines. They knew what was best. And that branch never once says to the husband, don't cut me off. Don't cut me off. Allow me to do this. He says, I'm the true vine. My Father's a husband. He knows how to grow fruit. He knows how to grow fruit. His Father is the ultimate vine dresser. The Almighty God. He knows what must be taken out of your life to produce fruit. He knows what must be done to get you to the place where you become fruitful. The one job you have as a branch, stay connected to the vine. If you leave, there's no fruit. I believe this message was given today for me to understand something. As I look around, seem we're few this morning. Seems that's been the normal lately. Maybe it's because I am trying to produce fruit without the vine. Maybe it's because you are trying to produce fruit without the vine. You see, in the churches, we become this way. We've got things backwards. We want to harvest, but we don't want to plant. We want to harvest, but we don't want to till. We want to harvest, but we want absolutely no work. We want to come, do a little bit, see our pews full, our money plates full, see our name great in the community. But brother, we don't want to do nothing that puts in an effort towards it. Now listen, most of y'all in here know how to grow a garden. I don't. I could grow a tomato plant, but the army worms eat it up. Every leaf off of it. But we are not dumb, and we understand that first of all, if we're going to have a harvest, we must put a seed in the ground. We put a seed in the ground. That's about all we can do until that thing sprouts up and starts getting some grass around it, and then we can hoe it. But once we put it in the ground, God gives the increase. You see, it's all up to Him. We must stay connected with the vine. We could go in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and go over the fruits of the Spirit, but I don't feel led to do that this morning. Y'all know what they are. There they are. A lot of fruits. But this morning, I believe the fruit that God is talking about is winning lost souls to Him. I know this fruit's the Spirit right there. I had it in my message. But listen, and He is concerned about that. That's how people is won. I understand that. But today, maybe the reason we haven't grew in number as we want to see. I know it's not about number, but listen. Fact of the matter is, if any numbers ain't growing, souls ain't being saved. Maybe the reason we're disconnected from the vine. How do we stay connected? We know that through His Word, through prayer, through gathering together and coming and growing closer and abiding in Him. Have we been guilty? As Pat comes on up, have we been guilty of trying to do things without Jesus? Have we been guilty of running ahead of Him? Of saying, Lord, I tell you what we'll do. We'll have a fall festival in October. I tell you what we'll do. We'll do better than that. We might get us a visitation group together and decide we're going to go door to door. Or we might find another program we can do. Let me ask you about this. What if this year, in 2020, which we're 1 month behind, which seemed like 6 months, that was the longest month I've seen in a while. What if we determine in our hearts that we abide in Him this year? Whatever that means, and whatever that does for our church, that we simply abide in Him. We stay with Him. We stay with His ways. We stay with His word. We stay the way He tells us to do things. And whether the fruit is there or not, it's not up to me if I'm abiding. It's up to Him. But I'm just dumb enough to believe that as He makes a grapevine, He makes it for a reason. A grapevine is there to produce grapes. A church is here to produce souls for the kingdom of God. It's not about me and you. It's not about having a nice place to come, although that's great, and I love it. But the whole reason and the whole meaning for this congregation is to win lost souls to Jesus Christ. That's the reason. And to minister to one another. You study out the first church, it's plain. What if this year that we try abiding in Christ? I believe we need to do it. I believe we have to do it. I believe there's no choice but to do it. Or either we decide we don't want any fruit. If you don't want any fruit, stay disconnected. You're in good shape. If you desire to have fruit, I challenge you, abide in Christ. Stay in Him. Stay in the Word. Stay in prayer. And let's see what God produces through us. Remember today, as you stand, you are a branch. You are a branch. The next time you go by a grapevine, I want you to remember this. The fruit is growing at the end of that branch, on that shoot. The fruit for the kingdom of God comes from the branch. That's how God has chosen to grow His kingdom, is through little branches connected to a vine. Today, if God, being the great husband the Bible says He is, was to walk by the vineyard, which is His church, and He looked at the vine, which is His son, which is perfect, which is anchored, which is connected to Him, which has all things that we need, and He began looking at you as a branch, does He see you as one that can be chopped off and nobody would ever miss it? He could prune you to save room for the others and to save nutrients for the others. Or are you a branch that He says, hey, that one right there is putting forth some fruit. I better keep it. That branch is growing some fruits. Sadly to say, even myself, and I'll admit it, I'm not self-righteous, I guess. I'm afraid sometimes He could chop me off and never miss me. What about you? Are you a branch that's producing fruit? If you're not, I got some good news. You can be. You can come back. You can be grafted back. Today will you come? Will you determine your heart? If you're saved here today, now listen. If you're not saved, you can't be part of the vine. Nothing I can say can get you saved. I can preach and the Spirit of God can work on your heart, can soften your heart, can let you know you're a sinner, and then you can be saved. I cannot do anything to make you become one of His outside of preaching the Word of God. Then the Spirit of God has to work. If you're here today and you know the Spirit of God has spoken to your heart, will you say yes and become connected to the vine so fruit can be there? Maybe you're connected to the vine. Maybe you have been connected to the vine, but spiritually speaking, you become apart from Him. You're disconnected from the source. Maybe we can understand it better with electricity. You unplug electric cord that you've got running a light, light's going to go out. Just that simple. But when you plug it back to the source, if the bulb is good, it comes on. That bulb will stay on until you unplug it again. It must stay connected to be sufficient. Today, are you connected to the power source, which is Jesus Christ? Church, I beg you, in 2020, let's become connected, abiding, staying with Jesus Christ. As she plays, will you come?